We now commence, which talks about the different types of companies under the Companies Act 2013. Companies are broadly classified on the basis of incorporation, on the basis of liability, on the basis of membership, on the basis of ownership and holding. We now move into the area on the basis of incorporation, where companies are classified as chartered, statutory and registered companies. Yes, chartered companies, statutory companies, registered companies under the Act, companies limited by shares, limited by guarantee, one-person company with unlimited liabilities, and listed company. I'll just explain each one of them in great details. Chartered company. It is a company, well, which originated in England under a royal charter. Charter means a document laid down by the king or the crown of a country stating how to run a company. So this was called as a royal charter, wherein your East India Company, the Standard Chartered Bank, Bank of America, these were all those kinds of companies which were established under a royal charter, under a royal monarch or the king or the queen of the country. Now today in India, the chartered companies are totally not there and therefore as good as abolished. We now come to statutory. Statute means a legislation or any kind of a legal enactment. These are called statutory corporations. Well, friends, now these are companies which have their own separate acts. For example, we have Life Insurance Corporation of India Limited, Industrial Finance Corporation Limited, IDBI, ICICI. Now these companies, they are technically under the corporate sector, but they are not governed by the Companies Act 2013 because they have their own separate acts. The Air India Act so and so, Unit Trust of India Act, a particular statute, and therefore these are public utilities which are essentially meant for the public as non-profit organizations. So they will be referring to Companies Act only as and when their provisions are silent. Otherwise, they go by their own separate areas of law which govern their working. Registered companies, all companies, private limited, public limited companies, they are all which are companies incorporated by the registrar under the Companies Act 2013. Limited by shares. On the basis of liability or risk, when every member wants to have his risk limited and says, unlike partnership where there is unlimited or no limit on the liability, I want to have my risk limited to the face value or nominal value. So every shareholder says, don't put the risk on me because whatever share that I take, my risk will be unto the unpaid portion. So as I've mentioned earlier, if my face value is 100 rupees on a share, I've already paid 50 rupees. What is my unpaid balance? My unpaid balance is 50 rupees. So therefore, here is a company wherein the liability of every member is limited to the unpaid portion, is called limited by shares. Limited by guarantee. Now we have organizations like cricket clubs, gymkhanas, etc., which are companies limited by guarantee, wherein the member or the shareholder is asked to pay a fixed amount, which is called guaranteed amount, which will be taken by the company only in the event of liquidation or winding up. So what is the difference between companies limited by shares and guarantee? The area of difference is that in the event of a company limited by shares, the shareholder is called upon during the continuation of the company at any point of time to pay the call money or to pay any unpaid portion. Whereas in a guarantee company, the member is asked by, because he pays only subscription or any kind of entrance fee, this man has a liability which is limited to the guaranteed amount, which is called only in the event of winding up when the company doesn't have adequate funds. So such a company may or may not have a share capital. It could be a public company, it could be a private company, it could be a company without or with share capital, or could be any kind of a company wherein the articles of such a company have to mention the number of members and the amount of shares that they are ready to take, so that if it is a company with share capital and a guarantee, both liability will be limited to the extent of the share and the guaranteed amount. Unlimited company. Unlimited companies like partnership are ones where the shareholder has a liability to an unlimited extent, which means it is not limited to the face value, but he will have to sell his personal property in order to meet the liabilities of the company. However, unlimited companies here again are not popular in the Indian scenario. We now come to one person company. Well, friends, this has been a very important introduction with the Companies Act 2013, where the J.J. Irani Committee, when it was very successfully run in Singapore, US and other places, introduced this concept in India under the latest Companies Act provision. What is a one-person company? As in Solomon versus Solomon and Company, it is one singular person having the entire shareholding in his hands, and the remaining shares will be run by or will be held by dummy shareholders. This one person is required to name another person who will act as a representative in the event that the singular person dies. This another person will take over in the event of death or insanity. His written consent to act as a legal representative or in the place of the original person is required to be mentioned. So here is one singular person who holds the entire company, which could be a public limited, a private limited company, or any kind of a company wherein it works with or without share capital. Such a company is usually a private company, so that if the share capital exceeds 50 lakhs or if the turnover exceeds 2 crores, this one company, one person company, is now converted into a private limited company. Listed, all public limited companies by and large. What is the meaning of listed? That is, quoting a price on the stock exchange is called listing. So where these companies have a price which is quoted on a recognized stock exchange are all called listed companies under the Companies Act. A company may be formed for any lawful purpose by, as I've already mentioned, 7 or more persons in case of a public company. Minimum paid up share capital shall be 5 lakhs or more, which is not a private company. What is a private company? A private company is one where there are 2 or more persons. Well, friends, I would like to have it mentioned that in my earlier act, it was 50 as the maximum number. 2013 says the maximum number shall be 200, except OPC companies, one-person company, wherein, in the case of a one-person company, the maximum is not mentioned, but in the case of any private limited company, it shall not exceed 200, excluding past and present employees. The minimum paid up share capital shall be 1 lakh or more. And where such a company prohibits any invitation to the public, because in a private company, you collect the share capital from your own family members, friends, or any kind of relatives, whereby you don't issue any kind of a document like a prospectus inviting the public to subscribe to shares. So unlike a public company where it is mandatory to issue a prospectus, in a private company, prospectus is not issued to the public. Why? Because the persons or stakeholders are small and you like to circulate it within your own circle. So normally there is no invitation to the public in the case of a private company. One person company, as we have seen, one singular person and the name of another person and his written consent is required as in the case of a one person company. Deemed public company. A company which is a subsidiary of a public company which is not private is called as a deemed public company, which is again a concept under the Companies Act 2013. A company formed shall be limited by shares, limited by guarantee, or an unlimited company. We will now come into the area producer company. Now, this was a company which was earlier introduced under the Companies Act 2002, which came into inception or which was introduced in 2003. What is actually a producer company? The cooperative sector found that many advantages of a private company were not available to them. So, how many individuals form a cooperative society? 10 individuals. So these 10 individuals or two or more producer institutions wanted to come together, have themselves registered and wanted to form a company. And this company, which functioned like a private company, was called producer company. Now what does this producer company actually do? For small scale producers who want to collect their primary produce, who want to market their items at competitive prices. The members want to have financial assistance, any kind of technical assistance or training. Such a company is in a position to provide this kind of assistance to producer members who actively participate and enjoy a patronage in these companies. The objects are primary produce, registration whereby it will be registered under the Companies Act. It could be an offer to interstate cooperative societies, that is where the objects of the society are extended to more than one state. From one state to another state, there could be interstate cooperative societies so that the companies here are registered as per the jurisdiction of the state concerned wherein these producer companies have their registered office. The effect of incorporation is that here the incorporated status gives them a legal entity wherein it functions on its own. Government company. A government company is one in which not less than 51% of the paid up share capital is held by the central government or partly by the center, partly by the state. So here we have companies such as Hindustan Aeronautics, we have Steel Authority of India, we have Engineers India Limited and several others wherein there could be a 100% stake by the central government. But then the criteria states there shall be at least minimum 51% of the share capital held either by the central government or state government. A company which is a subsidiary of a government company is also deemed to be a government company. Now, supposing the central government is a member of such a government company, then in such an eventuality, immediately after its AGM, that is the annual general meeting, within a period of 3 months, their profit and loss account and balance sheet which are audited is required to be put or placed before the Houses of Parliament, and there has to be a written consent of the Comptroller and Auditor General of India. In case it is the state government under whose control the government company lies, the audited financial statements shall be placed before the Houses of the state legislature. Foreign company. It's a company incorporated outside India but has a branch office in India. That means it is registered outside in a foreign country, but there'll be a person who is running the company in the Indian context, either physically or through an agent or by any electronic mode, wherein, as far as the company in India is concerned, the person who runs it is required to submit all the documents with regard to memorandum, articles, written consent of directors to the registrar of companies at Delhi, as far as Indian context is concerned. Holding company and subsidiary. A company which holds the share capital, which holds more than half the share capital of another company, or which has the capacity to control the composition of the board of directors of another company. The former is called holding. The latter is the company which is held, or the subsidiary company. Each of these companies are separate entities unless they are sought to be consolidated for accounting purposes. We now come to a small company. Here is an area introduced under the new Act of 2013, wherein Section 2, Subsection 85 says, a company other than a public company, where the paid-up share capital does not exceed 50 lakhs up to a maximum of 5 crores. At the same time, the turnover does not exceed 2 crores up to a maximum of 20 crores is called as a small company. Associate. If we have one company like a joint venture, if one company controls more than 20% as far as the former company is concerned, the other company which holds the 20% is called as an associate company or a joint venture company, again introduced by the Companies Act 2013. Dormant. Now, normally we use the word dormant for inactive companies. Companies which are likely to be registered in future, or which are held for holding some intellectual property rights in future, and there is no submission of any financial statements for the past 2 years, are called dormant or inactive companies. Incorporation of a company and the various documentations or the various documents which are required to be filed with the registrar of companies. Friends, as you are aware, to start a company, we require 2 people in the case of a private company. We require minimum 7 who are the first subscribers to be starting a public company. And in the case of an OPC, which is 1-person company, we require 1 person with the written consent of the other representative who shall be entitled to take the place of the deceased member in case he becomes insane. Or when he is dead, this person, in the capacity of a legal representative, takes over the 1-person company. Now, the important formalities are, they are required to file the memorandum and articles of association by the minimum 7 and minimum 2 subscribers for a private limited company. A declaration by an advocate, a chartered accountant, a company secretary, stating that all the formalities as regards Companies Act are duly fulfilled. An affidavit, when you don't have the original document, it's an oath by way of a promise done by a person before any legal consultant. From each of the subscribers to the memorandum and from persons named therein as the first directors that he is not convicted of any offence in connection with promotion, formation or management of the company, so that there is no taint on his record for the past 5 years. The address for correspondence till the registered office is established. The name, the identity proof of all subscribers to the memorandum. The particulars of the first directors with their director identification number, which is DIN for you, including the proof of identity. And finally, if the directors are interested in any transaction wherein they have a financial stake, their consent is required to be given before any kind of position as a director is held by them, which is today mandatory under the Companies Act 2013. Thank you very much, my friends. These are the areas where we have seen with incorporation of companies and the various formalities which are required to be complied for the purposes of incorporation and registration of a company. Thank you.